in whom I believe. Now, I know the Baptist church ain't saved me, but thank God they've had some forefather that laid down the plumb line of truth that we may have it in these days. And I praise Him for our forefathers, how good He's been to our country. If you got a Bible this morning, if you'd turn with us over into 2 Timothy chapter number 1, I'm going to read one verse this morning for sake of time. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Boy, I enjoyed that singing this morning. My Lord, that's one of the best songs I ever heard. I'm glad. Thank God, thank God. I want y'all to sing that again, Brother Kelly, before we leave. For imitation, I'm glad He owns the other side of the river. Man, He owns both sides of it. Thank God. I'm glad I know the owner of it all. I like what the old black preacher said. He said, He's God so big, He not only owns all the cattle on the Thousand Hills, but He owns all the taters under the hills. And I'm glad of that this morning, to have a God that big. You say, how big is He? I tell you how big He is. When He moves in, He's going to stick out somewhere on you, friend. And the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 3, I thank God. We can stop right there and dance a while. I think, matter of way, it's still our right to have a holy dance. Amen. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I remember to thee in my prayers, night and day. Great desire to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. His thing's so good, I was going to read one verse, I just keep a reading. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, before the world began. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together, Lord, with our friends and family. Thank you, Lord, for these men that's come and stood before us to sing today. I pray you'd help them tonight. You'd bless them real good today. Thank you, Lord, for their efforts to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for this ministry. Thank you for this place, Lord, that you've raised up. Thank you for the people that you've put here in each place. We thank you. Lord, I pray that you'd touch folks. Let us be a blessing today. Oh, God, I need your help in preaching. Would you touch me and let me preach for you one more time this morning? I love you and praise you, and I'll be careful to honor you for it. In Christ's name I ask. Amen and amen. This morning, you'll notice in the text verse, he said, I thank God. Paul is writing, and he's writing to his young preacher. Paul fixing to leave out off the scene. He's headed Brother Kelly toward the big river. And he said this. He said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. And this is what I want to preach on this morning. And doing it the way they did. Doing it the way they did. I like that word forefather. It means those that went on before us. Thank God for the forefathers of our faith. My mother at 85 this morning, she got up and she said, I've been a pondering, been a thinking on the things of old. She said, you know, hun, she uses that word, hun. I like that word. She said, you know, matter of fact, some of y'all put that in your vocabulary, you'd do better. Amen. She said, hun, said, I just thinking this morning how hard times were. Said we didn't have a washer or a dryer and had old scrub board. Some of you ladies know where she is today. She'd rub them old clothes. She said, hun, I'd hang them on the line and they'd freeze. Now bring them back in the house. That's what's wrong with some of you this morning. You got in a pair of frozen clothes this morning. But it is on my heart to warm things up before you leave here today. Boy, we don't know how good we got. She said, for my 25th wedding anniversary, Daddy went and got me a washer. You know what she said? Brother Jake, this where that saying come from. She said, I thought I was uptown. Can I tell you, we all uptown this morning, friend. God has been good to us. Now, I won't preach a few minutes if the Lord had helped me today on doing it the way they did. I'd like to say, first of all, we need to preach some sermons the way they preached. You'll find in the book of Acts, chapter number 7 today, one of the greatest sermons that's ever been preached. In Acts chapter number 7, here was a great and a mighty man of God. His name, no doubt, will go down in the registers of history. He was a young man. He come out of preaching. Boy, he had something to say. Now, watch this. The Bible said in verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, what are you talking about? Well, Stephen comes out of preaching. And in verse 54, you'll notice that he touched their heart. We need heartfelt preaching. We've got enough of head knowledge. We need to go to letting the Word of God get in our heart. Now, I've noticed this. When it gets in people's heart, it'll do one of two things. It'll bring them toward Calvary. Or like this group, it'll bring them from Calvary. Can I tell you that you say, well, preacher, you stepped on my toes. No, no, friend. I better go down yonder to the rifle range and adjust my sight because I'm a shooting too low. I'm aiming at your heart this morning. We need heartfelt preaching. Isn't it wonderful when the man of God gets up, goes to preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost moves and touches our heart? Now, Stephen rears back and he's preaching the Word. The Bible said that it cut them to the heart. And that's what this book will do, friend. It's a two-edged sword. I'm glad it cuts where it needs to be cut. And so we need some heartfelt preaching. And then in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. We need some heavenly preaching. Saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Where did he go when he got out of the grave? There it is. He's on the right hand side. He's there as intercessor this morning. He's standing between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who paid a ransom for all. Ain't you glad we ain't got to get there on our own merits? Ain't you glad there's a God in heaven that sent His Son to get on the cross and die for the sins of this world? I'm glad He's on the right-hand side of the Father. You'll notice not only heart preaching and heavenly preaching. I like verse 57. Oh, there was some heart preaching. Now, these little tickling sermons that these gals is talking about today ain't a-doing much. Amen. Lord, I'm telling you, it ain't enough power to knock the fuzz off of a peach in the average Baptist church. Everybody's done got too scared they're going to offend somebody. Let me tell you, friend, this book's going to stand when the world is a-burning. And you can preach this thing. You can preach it right. You ain't got no apologies because I didn't write this book. I just read it real loud. Amen. Now, I'm telling you this. Well, they had hot preaching. You say, what did they get hot about? Well, they got mad. Preaching ever got you mad. Matter of fact, I ain't doing my job unless I made you a little mad. Now, first of all, you'll notice he says something about their sacred bulls in verse 41. They made a calf in those days, offered sacrifice to the idol, rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Boy, their sacred bull, he got to bust in the works of their hand. Let me tell you, this church here ain't about us this morning. It's about Him. You say, I give that pew preacher. No, you didn't. You lying. You ain't give nothing. God allowed you to do something by His good grace. And you ought to throw your little Baptist hand up to Him this morning. Say, thank you, Lord, for letting me do the way that I can do because You're blessing on me. Some of you so tight, you wouldn't give a dollar to see a fire ain't eat the courthouse. Sacred bulls. And then you'll notice this. He got on their sanctimonious buildings. Verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? He is trying to tell them, hey boys, God ain't living in buildings, He's living in vessels. Can I tell you, when we leave, God ain't in this place. I'm glad we got a pretty place to go to church, but it ain't about the building this morning. It's about the God of glory on the right-hand side of the fire. Well, if y'all'd help me preach on Sunday morning, we'd have some preaching down here today. Don't worry, your chicken will be down there when you get to it, friend. Don't worry about it. Now, he got on about their sacred bull. Boy, a lot of folks got their little pet dog, ain't they? Now, preacher, don't mess with my pet dog. I've been a petting him a long time. And I'll go to church down there as long as you don't preach on my pet dog. Honey, let me tell you, we'll do more than preach on your pet dog. We'll crucify your pet dog. If some of you rednecks would get with your preacher and get in the battle with him, amen, quit standing around looking at him, get in what he's doing, we could go places at this church. Some of you boys, you done got so wimpy, I think you'd let somebody talk about your preacher and Piggly Wiggly, and you wouldn't even say nothing. Boy, we need some hot preaching. Then there's spiritual blindness, verse 51. He said, you stiff neck, uncircumcised in heart. Ye ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. And then he talked about their sacrilegious brethren, verse 52. He said, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, have slain them and showed before the coming of just one, whom you've been now the betrayers and murderers, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. What are you talking about? Oh, friend, you'll notice, first of all, in this preaching, they had heart preaching. They had heavenly preaching. They had heart preaching. And then verse 59, look what he done. He had humble preaching. You know, I've always admired a preacher could smile and tear my hide up. We got enough old mean, bitter preacher. I want to say something this morning. Me and my family's had enough for me to have a good case of bitterness. Look like some of you, look like you swallowed a polecat over yonder yesterday and you ain't took enough Rolaids to cure you yet. Let me tell you, friend, on my worst day, I'm a blessed man. You hear me? On my worst day, we're blessed people. There's a God of heaven that loves us, friend, and died for us. And yes, He does, on yonder on both sides of the river. And one morning, hey, hey, one getting up morning, He's a getting up, and He's coming for us. And hey, hey, we're blessed people this morning. We need humble preaching. The Bible said he just looked up while they was throwing them rocks. That'd help us all this morning. By the way, if you're going to live for this Jesus, some folks are going to throw rocks at you. They don't care if you get a little dose of religion. They ain't going to care if you come to church one day a week. But when you go to throwing your liquor out of the house, when you go to burning your weed, and you go to reading your Bible, and you go to talking different, and you've been a talking, they're going to talk about you, and they're going to throw some rocks about you. Boy, he had humble preaching. He just looked up from where it's all coming from, said, Lord, I'm coming soon. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing when they're throwing rocks? I preached a message the other day. I may preach here one night. I preached down in Louisiana last week on this text, and I pulled it and I preached on how to kill your preacher. Some of y'all need to hear that. Number one, don't come back on Sunday night. Lay out for any little old ball game come along. Oh, that rabbit got up. Somebody shoot. We'll have rabbit in a minute. Dress them up in their little frou-frou and put them on the stage and let them dance. Oh, well, the Lord won't mind it. Then next Sunday, it's another frou-frou. Next Sunday, it's another frou-frou. Then you out. Way out, John. How'd I get on that? I'm glad I did. I may preach 9 messages out of 1 text this morning, brother. Just give me 5, Brother David. Hallelujah. Give me 5. I like tag team preach. Give me 5, Brother Larry. Ain't that wonderful? My God, somebody just touch this Bible. Feel that Bible. Don't that do something to you? Feel that girl. That'll do something for you this morning. I'm telling you, we need some humble preachers. Listen, he didn't pick a rock up and throw it back. He just kept on looking and said, now, Lord, you told me to preach this. Oh, we need to have some preaching the way they preached back then. I thank God for some forefathers. Brother Monroe Wiggins, Brother Elmer Cason. You know, did you notice last week the man 104 died? That great evangelist that God so honored out of Charlotte, North Carolina. What was his name, Brother Tim? Who? Yeah, and who did he sing before he preached? Billy Graham. Thank you, Billy Graham. God used them old men. Boy, said that he probably preached over 20 million people. We need some preaching. And you know, he was a Methodist. And he preached straighter than the average Baptist preacher preaches this morning. Said, hey, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. Them old Puritan Methodists, they had it, friend. They had the fireball of God. The Baptists had it. They had the fireball of God. But somewhere, they've compromised because they're afraid if they preach the way they used to preach, it'd run the crowd off. Well, listen, I love to play golf. I love to hunt and fish. But we'll do that through the week. Let's come to church and have preaching on Sunday morning. Boy, they had humble preaching. God help me to stay a humble preacher. God help me to preach with tears in my eyes. God help me to stay humble. The Bible said, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. They rocked him right asleep. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, what are you talking about? I'm talking about doing it the way they did it. We need to preach some sermons like they preach. Number two, we need to dig in some wells that they dug. You'll notice in Genesis 26 and verse 17, Genesis 26 and verse 17. Boy, it's got quiet. If I got on your pet dog this morning, prank your little poodle up here on the leash, see what happens. We're going to turn these German shepherds loose to show your poodle stay on the porch. Genesis 26, verse number 17. The Bible said, Isaac departed and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Now I want to help you right here if you listen to me. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. I appreciate Brother Mike preaching on these wells. I got to thinking yesterday when I was preparing this message on went into digging some wells they dug in. First of all, in verse 18, you'll notice a warning declared. The Bible said Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Time out. Need to dig some wells they dug in. What do you see? There's a warning declared. There's a death of a patriarch happened. And guess what happened when the man of God went off the scene? The Philistines took over. Let me tell you, every church is one preacher from going liberal. Abraham stood for the things of God. I don't know, and I know we got a few visitors, but we mostly home folks this morning. I want to say something before I go eat my chicken. And I may not be able to eat much today, but I'll eat me some supper tonight after I take some Rolaids after this message. But I'm going to tell you something. We better realize something here this morning. This ministry ain't about Ken Bowman. This ministry is about the Lamb of Glory. And if God takes me off this scene, I hope to the God of heaven that the Lord's raised up enough men to stand up and say, it's still the blood, it's still the old soul, we're still going by the old highway. Thank God I'm glad. Hallelujah. Well, glory, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. God God may take me off the scene. Y'all just going to fall down and die? God has chosen to use me in these days. But what happens when I go to be with the Lord? I better not be your God. I'm glad I'm light. Thank God I go to church with people that love me. But when I'm preaching a revival somewhere, you ought to bring your hide on to church. Hallelujah! My Lord, I come in here Wednesday night. You can rode a John Deere tractor in here. Well, preacher, you've been gone 8 out of 9 weeks preaching. Well, you might ought to be glad that you got a preacher God to use. Hey, deacon, stand up and say amen right there. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. I love you. Visitors, I'm sorry. You come in on a bad day. No, I ain't sorry. I ain't apologizing about nothing. I'm telling you, we got a good church to go to and you ought to back it up. Some of y'all must do a lot better than I do. I can't get what I need one day a week. Boy, I'm a full-blown heathen. You hear me? I need preaching in my life. Where was I? Was digging wells one way. A warning declared. The death of the patriarch. Well, Ken's gone. Church will die. Ken's gone. Why'd they build the wings? He's gone. Some of you wished I'd get gone. But I ain't leaving yet. I was here before you was. You move your stuff. Would some of you boys help me preach this smart? You little henpecked rascals. Y'all say henpecked. You looked at your wife, see if you might say amen right there. Now you watch your Bible, I'm fixing to help you with something. A lot of you think I'm clowning, but I'm preaching. And the only reason I'm smiling, because I got to. You watch this, a warning declared, the death of the patriarch. And then verse 18, there's a work demonstrated. The Bible said, Isaac digged again the wells of water. He dug where Daddy dug. Oh God, help us to dig where Daddy dug. You know something, the Philistines didn't want the water, but they didn't want nobody else to get the water. They didn't want their water. They filled the well up. You know what they filled it up with? The world. Oh Lord, I wish y'all get your mind off chicken. Help me preach this morning. Filled it up with dirt. Filled it up with the world. Well, preacher, let's just go the world. Let's go contemporary. Tell you what you need to do. You need to go down the street. We need your sitting room around here. Quit breathing our air. We need the air here. My Lord, I'm so hot now. If I get third gear, I'm going to have to undo one of these buttons on the side this morning. That's all I know to tell you now. These buttons is for eating chicken and preaching. Ain't it funny? They don't want you to have it, but they don't want it themselves. I wouldn't go down there that shout and running church. Let me ask y'all something. You go down to the ball game and shout. Why can't you come up in the house of God and shout? You don't even know who's going to win. Some of y'all don't never say nothing to church. I just love to watch you in the ball game. You get all undignified, mess your hairdo up. That's my grandboy, though. Well, that's my Savior. That's my Savior. Talking about doing it the way they did it. See, the devil don't want a preacher to preach nothing. He won't mind you going to church, getting dressed up, walking in, leaving the way you come. But I tell you what, it'll tear the devil's nerves up. You start getting in a Holy Ghost place, you go to getting some help for your life. And this is the same out. When you walk out of there, a light turns on to other people. And the devil don't like lights turned on. He'll let you have a little religion. But boy, when you go to getting serious, man, ain't that something? Boy, everything. Y'all ever thought about this? Now, we ain't having church tonight. Give me about 3 hours this morning. Listen to me. Isn't it something how that on everything will go great Monday through Saturday, and Friday morning, every demon in the country runs in your house? Sunday morning, I mean, you ever tried getting ready in one sink with three girls? I mean, they are fighting. And then you get a fight. Then you slam the car doors coming to church. And then you come down, a little old woman pulls out in front of that little rambler wagon, you know. She ought to started yesterday going where she's going today. And you sitting there and you moving out over the yellow line trying to find a place. And you run in a place and you run that car off the road. Then you get mad. It's got a bumper sticker on the back that says, "Follow me on in there to Liberty Baptist Church." And then you come up the door steps and there's the man of God. "Hey, how y'all doing?" "Oh, preacher, we're doing great." "We're just great, preacher." "What are you talking about?" "I'm talking about digging where Daddy dug." "Oh, my." "The warning declared. The work demonstrated. They digged again. It's work." Digging's the hardest thing I've ever done. They digged again. Just because the Philistines stopped the hole up, it wasn't good enough for them. They said, "We can get it out. We got to dig again." Thirdly, not only do you find the warning declared, the work demonstrated, but there's a water described. Verse 19, "And there they found water." They knew they needed it. You know something? We're blessed to have a lot of young couples here. I admire you. I'll be honest with you, starting this ministry, young couples, just give me a few minutes. Listen to me, young couples. You ask this man sitting right here on the front. You ask these two men that's been with me 20 years here starting Christmas. You ask them. When we started an old-time ministry, I thought it would appeal to the 50, 60, 70-year-olds that used to hear preaching like that 50 years ago. Not talking about nothing I'm doing. I'm talking about just standing the old way. But now it's drawed young couples. Thank God for our older people. Thank God for it. But God has made this ministry appeal to young people. I sure am glad. Look at our young folk over here. They could be any place this morning. Thank God that they've got a heart to serve God. Now you listen, you go to any old home place in this country, pick you out one, I don't care where it's at. You know what every one of them have in common? A well. I was on a deer lease in Harris County, had 1,000 acres, walked up and there's an old house folded in there. You know what I said? "Y'all boys, watch out, it's a hand-dug well here somewhere." And guess what? About 50 yards off the old back porch, there it is, Brother Tim. They dug them with steps in them so they could get in and clean them out. What are you saying, preacher? I'm supposed to help you right here. Now listen. Our forefathers know they couldn't raise a family without a well. Why are you trying to raise your young'uns without a well of the Word of God? Why are you trying to raise a family without a place that they can go and drink and a place they can wash? They know they needed it for their little ones. That little old young'un dressed up like that this morning. These little old young'uns sitting around here, let me tell you, they need a place where they can go where there's a well. They need to drink now and they need to drink days to come. Boy, we need to preach some sermons the way they preached. Preach heaven sweet, hell hot, and just love people. Would you do me a favor this morning? Would you turn around by people beside you and tell them, say, "We glad you here today." Would you just turn around and tell them that? "We glad you here today." And would you do this? Would you say a little preaching won't hurt you? Turn around and say a little preaching ain't going to hurt you. Some of you husbands and wives, you ain't even talked to each other till you just done that. Can I say something to the people closing? Want all our kids, come here a minute. Little kids, come up here. Everybody that can. Mom and daddies, I know toddlers can't, but all the kids that can come, stand up here by the preacher. Won't you come, hurry. Won't you come. At this point, I'm going to another point. Won't you come here? Just line up right here just a minute. Oh, my. Right here, son, on the front. Get on the front. Right here. I want to ask y'all something. Can I ask you something? Be real honest. What kind of daddy would I be to think I could raise my little ones without a well? A place that they can drink and a place they can wash. Some of you trying to raise younguns without the well of the church. They have no place they can go drink. No place they can wash. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I get real thirsty and I need a place to drink. I can hardly wait for the day y'all look and standing here. Let me tell you another reason, Mom and Daddies. We are dying out. They got to be somebody to know something about the Holy Ghost. About the workings of God. About a King James Bible and the old, old story and song. They need to see a preacher that kept the altars open and a people that go in them and pray. They need to see a church where they're hugging one another and crying and weeping and loving on each other. You say, Brother Ken, why do you keep preaching? Brother Ken, you've been hurt. How you keep preaching? I keep looking up and I keep looking to them. Y'all be seated, babies. Brother Kelly, y'all come on. Would you sing that song for me? I got a lot more preaching. I want to say this. We ought to build some fires they built. And we ought to weep on some altars that they wept. I wonder this morning, would you come get some help for your life? You may be here and an older person. Don't matter. Better late than never. Some of y'all young couples, it's a real world. I know it's tough. I know it's tough. But let me tell you, if you've got God in your life to where He needs to be and wants to be, it'll be a whole lot better. I'm not telling you you won't have no problems and issues, but you'll have somebody walking in it with you. Thank God I've got a church family that I can lean on and love on, cry on. They're going to sing. We need to weep on some altars that they wept on. See, if there's no weeping, Brother Vince, there's no reaping. We've lost the burden for sinners. If you hear lost today, you look at this man of God. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It ain't about how good you've been. The Bible said you must be born again. Won't you come this morning? If you need to be saved, Christ is saved. He loves you. He died for you. Mom and Daddy, you're trying to raise these babies. Would you come together this morning? Kneel down and say, God, help us to stay around this well while they sing.